sifter.com.au.
It's a like really cinematic kind of arcadey game, if that makes sense. I wanted to try to put those two like completely polar adjectives together. It's like Journey combined with like Katamari Damacy.
Hi, my name is Gianni and I'm the executive producer of Sifter. Thanks for listening. Cast your mind back to 2019. Now, a lot has happened since then, but we got the first glimpse at a post-apocalyptic game, which stars an animal protagonist. You might think, oh, I wonder if he's talking about a game called Stray, which made its debut on PlayStation 5 earlier this year. But in fact, I'm talking about Way to the Woods. It's made in Melbourne by mostly one developer, Ant Tan, from One Pixel Dog. It's a magical adventure where a deer and a fawn must make their way through the ruins of humanity. I had the opportunity recently to sit down with Ant and find out a little bit more about this game, what its design inspirations were, where it's at, and when we can expect to play the final version. I started by asking, what is Way to the Woods?
Okay, so Way to the Woods is a 3D third-person adventure game where you play as a deer and a fawn who must find their way home on a journey back to the woods.
It really reminded me of a particular image that used to spin around the internet a long time ago. It was these fish, these look like koi, that were swimming in an abandoned shopping center. I don't know if you know the image I'm talking about,
yeah,
but it's like escalators and stuff. Was that part of the inspiration behind this?
Yeah, so there is this photograph from, I think it's an abandoned mall in Hong Kong or Taiwan, and it just looks totally like derelict. These escalators are falling apart. You can't see anything working in that place. It looks like it's 9 stories tall or whatever. And from what I can imagine, like the rain is just collected and pooled at the bottom. And somehow, I don't know, like birds have dropped these like koi, like a little like fish into the bottom, and they've just multiplied. They've gone unchecked. And there's like a 1,000 fish in there, and it looks like no one's been there for like 100 years. That's what I imagine the place is, and I looked it up later and I found out what it really is, but that's not far off. And I just thought that was a crazy like visual that I've never seen before, and I really wanted to do something. I wanted to build a world where that made sense, you know.
There's a lot of really interesting stories that can be told, I guess, in like a post-human or like an animal one, stories are told. We've seen an example of this that's just come out, Stray, you know, which is a story told from an animal perspective. Can you tell me what are some of the challenges about telling a story like that, and thinking about playing as a deer?
Yeah, so the biggest challenge is that when you're a deer, you can't talk. And you also have no hands and you don't really have a facial expression or anything like that. And so a lot of the story has to be able to be told through sight and through like things that are happening to you. And then there has to be a huge focus on like the animation and the body expression of the deer themselves. So I kind of like looked at different examples of people who've told stories like that. And a lot of it's like silent films and theater and like, I looked at other animations with animals and stuff, and a lot of them do the kind of like, you know, like the Pixar kind of thing where the animal just talks or has like a real human face. But I really wanted to stay like, I admire how Stray is like, you are literally a cat. But even in Stray, you get a talking backpack like 5 minutes in. I kind of like want to try stay in that realm of like, you're an animal. And then slowly just put in things like there is dialogue and stuff, but I never want to be like, you're not a deer, like no one, you don't have like an absurd personality, you're just a really cool, like you're a really cool deer, you know.
You're not a standard deer though, because most deers don't have like magical blinking antlers that illuminate the space. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the fantasy elements that are making up this game?
Yeah, so there is that element of your antlers glow and you can use them to collect light and interact with light. And you understand it about as much as a deer would, you know, once you get it. And that is one of the things that one of the mysteries that the game presents is this like antler power, and what is it, and why is it, and why are you using it? And that all starts to like fold into one story thread that goes throughout the game. But yeah, you should always about understand as much as a real deer would. So a lot of the signage might make sense to you. A lot of the like devices that you find really make sense to you. A lot of the like old human relics, like you find like a smartphone and you're just like, what is this? It's like glowing for you. That's about it.
What sort of game is this to play? Is it a sort of a puzzle adventure game? Is it really a story-based game? You know, how is it that people will be enjoying this when they get their hands on it?
The most important adjective for me is that it's fun. Like it's a like really cinematic kind of arcadey game, if that makes sense. I wanted to try to put those two like completely polar adjectives together. It's like a kind of, it's like Journey combined with like Katamari Damacy. Like I kind of wanted to have a cinematic, like really genuine and sincere story put into an environment that is like intriguing and like base questions, and then combine it with a mechanic that's just kind of like fun to fiddle with. And then the most important part of the game is that you're a deer. So the movement as a deer is like, there's this gif of like a deer that's bouncing through the beach, like on an ocean. And it's like a super popular gif. And it is like the heart of the gameplay really is like this bounce button that you have. Just like in the game, it's not called jump. I think it's called sprawling. So like that kind of sells the philosophy of what I want that button to do. It's like, it's a fun button. There's a lot of little fun fiddly things. Like I looked at a lot of like walking simulator-esque games and tried to think about how I could make those more fun and more engaging while staying within the scope of it.
Tell me about, I guess, the contrast for this world. Are all the humans gone? Is it just that this place has been abandoned? It looks beautiful to look at, but in a kind of, yeah, post-apocalyptic decay sort of way.
The first shot of the game is you're led through the woods by this mysterious, like, deer god spirit. And it lures you through the woods, and as you go through the woods, you come across a creek that's just seeps in this like black ooze, this ominous oil. And that's when you find out that your light power has been gifted to you so that you can clean this up. And as you clean it up, you find hundreds of relics just washed up in the creek, trash. But this trash is like kind of cool. So it's like little smartphones and little like gadgets and toys and things that have been thrown away, long forgotten about. And as you progress through the world and you get lost in it, you just, you'll start to piece together the answers and what's happened here, you know? Yeah. And like the ancient conflict and tragedies that have occurred before, you know?
Yeah, like little snippets that you can find and you go start to piece it together. That's my favorite thing of the post-apocalyptic genre. I spent many, many hours collecting every little tidbit I could in like Horizon Zero Dawn, for example.
Yeah.
Completely, you know, you could pass the game, it's not part of the thing, but you just get that big world. You first sort of announced this game in 2019. It's mm-hmm. A lot has happened in that time. What has been the process like of developing a game over the last couple of years, and where are you at?
Well, in regards to what we were talking about before, like with the world and the like story, I really wanted it to be like meaty, right? But then this type of game is like the less you know, the better. So it's like writing it, imagining it for like a year, and then putting in 9 sentences about it. Like 50 words max, like explaining the words like straight on, and then having to figure out ways to really show it and feel it rather than just kind of reading it. And then kind of compromising a bit with like NPCs who can kind of give you a bit of more expository dialogue. A lot of the development process has been figuring out what is best for the game. So it like has gone in a couple of different directions, but they didn't feel like what this game should be for me. And then the ways that I wanted it to be were like hard to do, and they fail easily. So it took a lot of trial and error and a lot of like learning myself, because you know I didn't really know how to make this game before in like 2017, 19, whatever. When I first started it, I was starting from scratch, you know, like I knew how to do the art, not very well, but and then I had to like learn how to become professional and then do the programming and then the animations. I had help with all these things, but like I still had to do it, you know? So it's just the labor and the skill gap between what I wanted to make and what I could make at the time. And yeah, just there's just a lot of love that has to go into a game. And so I have just immense respect for anyone who can finish a game. Yeah, it's so hard, especially when, yeah, hopefully it's worth it. And people be like, oh yeah, I kind of see how this took a long time. You know, it's not a long game. It's just a very like, I try to make everything the best it can be that I can do it in this time period.
Have you been mostly working by yourself with little bits and pieces of help from here and there, or is it a bigger team working on it?
Yeah, so it's mostly myself. Like anything that touches the game is like 99% me. And then I have people who help me on things like the music. So most of the music that goes into the game is made by Ivy and Sirishu. They compose and write it and stuff and mix it. And then for the major, the bulk of the animations is done by Avis Chambers, who is a contractor I found on Twitter, because she makes these really cool like deer animations. And I was like, oh, I need you. And then I have like those teams help me like brainstorm, which involves like everyone who's ever touched a project. You get, you know, I just, you want to like be a part of the sessions. Right? And I like kind of just see artists that I like. And if I like them, then I kind of be like, hey, do you want to like do a couple concepts with me, or like little props and stuff? And then, you know, there's a lot of kind of with the philosophy of the game, it kind of matches that. It's just a bunch of things that I like and appreciation of things that are beautiful. I just put them in there.
It's almost like a collection of pins on a Pinterest or something like that. It's all kind of come together. That's what it sort of feels like when you're describing it. When can people, or when are you planning for people to have a chance to play this game? How far off are we off from where you think you'll be releasing?
So a couple of people have played the first level already, but I want to get it all done by the end of the year, and then maybe like first quarter of the next year, you know, because it's just going to take a while to do all the translations and the marketing and then the localization and stuff. That's a little like behind the curtain, but yeah, and then you get a pass certification once you, if you want it on Xbox consoles. So that's going to take some time because I've never done that before. So I'm going to leave a couple of months, and then, you know, let's say like Elden Ring 2 drops in February or something. I don't want to be around that. So I kind of just going to hold my cards to my chest for a bit. But when it drops, I'm hopefully going to be like back on social media and just telling everyone nonstop and doing TikToks and doing, yeah, doing all that circuits, doing another Sifter podcast, hopefully. So
that's Ant Tan, game director of Way to the Woods from One Pixel Dog. Sifter is produced by Nicholas Kennedy, Fiona Bartholomaeus, Kyle Paletto, Daniel Ang, Adam Christou. Mitch Lowe is our senior producer, and my name is Gianni DiGiovanni. I'm the executive producer. If you've enjoyed this interview, why not check out our podcast Lightmap? We speak to game developers from all around the world, and we find a little bit more about what it takes to make the games. You can find interviews including Cult of the Lamb, Neon White, Curse to Golf, and many, many more. So head to your podcast player, or check out the playlist on YouTube. Look for Lightmap for our interviews there. And subscribe to Lightmap so that you can get all of our interviews, including the upcoming Way to the Woods interview, when it drops into the feed. You can find a lot more articles, videos, and interviews on our website, as well as reviews. That website is sifter.com.au. Until next time, have fun.
Hi, I'm Kyle Paletto.
And I'm Gianni Di Giovanni.
And here are the top stories this week on Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly news podcast for Sunday, 5th of May.
Escape from Tarkov developers relent, allowing access to PvE mode for players who bought an all DLC bundle, but not before saying, sorry, you're mad.
Solo developed Mana Lords and indie city builder breaks sales and Steam records.
Take-Two shuts down studios behind Kerbal Space Program and Oli Oli World.
And we wrap all the cool things announced at ID at Xbox.
You can get every episode of Walkthrough for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and on our website, sifter.com.au, every Sunday.